Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, members of the Community Catholic Church clergy gather to worship, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition, and you can join in by clicking on the links that you see on the show page below. And now, let's celebrate our wonderful connection with Creator and prepare our hearts for worship. Good morning, and welcome to this time of worship on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost. We are so happy to be online again after the summer hiatus. Participating in our service today is the Reverend Liz Labazou, the Reverend Janet Warren, and the Reverend Denise Waldron. Let's take a moment now and prepare our hearts to come before our loving God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all our hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the Collect for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that richly bearing the fruit of good works, may by you be richly rewarded. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis, beginning at chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goat. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb the same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire, with its heads, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. Eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. And all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Today shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord.
A reading from the Romans, beginning in the 13th verse. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And any other commandments are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness.
Offender refuses to listen even to the church. Let such a one be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Holy Spirit, take my words and speak to each of us according to our need. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. This is a bit past the middle of that whole long season between Easter and Advent, when we catch up on some gospel readings that tell us some stories of Jesus and lessons that he taught to the disciples and others. Specifically, this Sunday speaks to Passover in the first reading, the reading from Exodus, then talks about obeying the commandments in the second reading, the reading from Romans, some about praising the Lord. And that's always really important, as we know. Then we get into the gospel about what to do when a brother sins. I confess that I had difficulty with this one. The very last verse, verse 20 in Matthew chapter 18, is one of my very favorite verses of all time. This is the part where Jesus says to them, "For when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." How comforting is that? Isn't it wonderful? It must have been a great comfort to the disciples, as it is to me, that we do not need to have a whole congregation of several hundred to have our Lord among us. We can be assured that even in small groups, he is there among us. This verse, though, comes at the end of a rather interesting passage. In it, Jesus tells us how to handle things when someone sins against us. We are to take that person aside and one-on-one speak to them to try to resolve the issue. In today's terms, that means we don't post our issues on Facebook or Twitter. We at least have a direct chat. Face-to-face would be awesome, and truly the way it should be done. But these days, people seem to be more comfortable with that chat window. We need to try and work out our issues without bringing other people into it unless absolutely necessary. We don't need to be confrontational. We just need to work at resolving whatever the issue is and begin that resolution with a one-on-one discussion. Jesus then goes on to say that if one-on-one approach doesn't work, that you take one or two people with you as witnesses. That would most likely be because you want to be sure that what you thought happened really happened. Too often there are misunderstandings and there really isn't an issue between two people. You just misunderstood the situation or misunderstood what was said. I can see this particularly being an issue if you go the online chat route. Words are one thing, but tone and emphasis can make something seem something it isn't. This might be particularly important across cultures because we English-speaking folk have many sayings and slang that might mean something completely different to someone whose primary language is not English. My favorite example of this is, look out! On the surface, in a chat window, even for an English-speaking person, it could mean to look outside. Meaning can be completely different when said to a person, not only because you can convey that emphasis, but if there's any doubt as to the meaning, you can see right away that what you meant was not what was understood when you see that puzzled look on their face. But back to the issue at hand. An issue you may have with someone. It's so very important to resolve issues and to know that even in one-on-one conversation, to do that, you're not alone. Remember, where two or more are gathered in his name, he is among us. Now, I don't mean to assume that all disagreements are really simple. It is, of course, true that someone could really sin against you by stealing something that was yours or saying things behind your back, not keeping a promise, something like that. It needs to be resolved. To me, the whole section really means then and now, we need to resolve our issues and not let them fester. Get things out in the open and sort them out. The passage I was having difficulty was the past part that said, if a member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Taking it as first read through, I was thinking that it meant to ostracize that person or think of them as being scum of the earth. But I know my God to be gracious and benevolent, so I'm going to take that as meaning to treat them as someone who may not be Christian, but someone who still may be reached. Remember, we are taught to love our neighbors as ourselves. Let us love those who we feel have wronged us. We can do that. We can reach others and tell them what needs to be done, keeping in mind that we are given free will and you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Or in this context, you can teach someone the commandments of our Lord, but you can't make him abide by them. We can always hope and even pray that everyone will love everyone, but the reality is that isn't so. But as Christians, we need to give it our best shot. We can demonstrate that loving our neighbors is the route to go, and we can talk about it. Could, however, kill them with kindness. I often told my kids a story of working selling women's clothes. That was not meant to be my career, so I really didn't have the heart or drive to work hard. The only incentive to sell was that whoever sold the most in a month would get an article of clothing from the store at the end of the month. There was one woman who was always taking my customers. Whenever someone approached me for assistance, she'd swoop in and take her away. So I decided not only to let it happen, but to make it happen. When someone would come to me for help, I would say something like, I'm happy to help you, but June is much better at something like this. I knew that the woman didn't like me, so I went out of my way to give my customers to her. Eventually, she became friendly. Killing her with kindness, or really in this situation, winning her over with kindness. So to me, to treat someone like a Gentile or a tax collector is treating them like they need help to see the light. And the light is in me. Whenever two or more are gathered, I show or demonstrate that light so that the people can see what a blessing it is to be loving rather than upsetting people. I'm sure that we can all do that. Of course, some days are better than others, I will admit. I'm sure that everyone is that way. I'm pretty sure that no matter how amazing the disciples were, they had days when living that example was tough and they just needed a day or two to recharge their batteries and come out smiling again. We can do this. God doesn't ask us to save the world or convert everyone to Christianity. And at a time, perhaps we can make this a better place. So back to the passage. Jesus has told us that if we are wronged, we try to sort out our differences in a one-on-one situation. Let's not bring our posse or the World Wide Web to a situation that a simple chat will resolve. If that doesn't work, get some help to assist by mediating the situation. If that doesn't work, bring it to the church and see if it can be resolved. And if this final step doesn't work, well, I guess that means they do not love others as themselves, as the passage suggests. They're not Christian, but it doesn't mean they can't be reached. Keep trying. There may be some unconventional methods that work, like mine. But always smile. It doesn't cost a thing. And when folks look at you, they should see the light of our Heavenly Father shining back at them and know that there's a better way and that you know what that way is. We're not perfect either, but we can do our best and reach others in a subtle and loving way. Remember, too, my favorite part of the passage, and that is when two or more are gathered, He will be among us. Think about that. He's with you when you're discussing these issues with someone. You're not alone. Just to quickly wrap up and review, when you've been wronged, discuss it one-on-one. If that doesn't work, take another person or two with you. If that doesn't work, discuss it with the church. And finally, if it doesn't work, just try to share your love with them and hope the situation resolves itself. Most importantly, remember that all along the way, our Savior's with us. Take comfort in that. What will you and our Savior accomplish this week? Now unto one holy, blessed, and undivided Trinity be all dominion, glory, and power. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the whole people of God, that each one may be a true and faithful servant of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those drawing near to the light of faith, that the Lord will bring them to true knowledge of Himself. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for those whom we know who've asked for prayer and those who are encountering challenges in their lives. For our families and friends, that the Lord will give them joy and satisfaction in all they do. Pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for those who are in any need or danger, especially those in the path of Hurricane Irma at this time. We pray for all those who have been affected by hurricanes in Texas and around the world, those affected by wildfires and other natural disasters. We pray for first responders and all who are gathering help for all of these people in need. And we pray for those who are lonely, sick, hungry, persecuted, or ignored, that the Lord will comfort and sustain them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, that the Lord will help us to contribute to its true growth and well-being. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the whole human family, that we may live together in justice and peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God and give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of the day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier, be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.